Support for WOSU comes from The Ohio State University. A crucial part of communities and people's well-being is resiliency. In the latest episode of Now at Ohio State, an award-winning author and a compelling researcher discuss the power of resilience. Listen on Apple and Google Podcasts or visit osu.edu/now.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 7th at 12:05 p.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this, like J.D. Vance's legislation to ban mask mandates, which he calls the Freedom to Breathe Act, will include increased regulations on smoking, increased regulations on air pollution. We'll see. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who come up with creative titles for legislation. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Snollygoster of the Week award goes to a group who quit not when they're ahead, but when they are not as far behind as they could be. But first, abortion rights will be issue one on this fall's ballot. It will be the actual issue one, both on the ballot and in the minds of most voters going to the polls this fall. This week, I spoke with Ken Rudin. If you're not familiar with Ken, he is a longtime political reporter and analyst for ABC and then NPR. He now hosts the Political Junkie podcast, which you should check out if you have not checked it out already. Ken and I spoke about the politics of abortion here in Ohio and around the country. Here's that conversation. Abortion rights, very much on the minds of us here in Ohio. It is issue one. It's the new issue one, according to the Ohio ballot board. They have numbered the issues on the ballot coming up in November. And the abortion rights amendment is number one on the ballot and also will be the number one of our attention here in Ohio. It would enshrine in the Ohio Constitution the right for women to have an abortion up to the point of fetal viability. And the campaign has not really gotten underway yet, at least publicly, but it will soon here now that Labor Day is behind us. My guess is we might even see ads during this weekend's Ohio State football game. Nationally, Ken, what's the attention level that folks nationally in Washington, D.C. are paying attention to this fight?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge in almost every state. And of course, what happened last month, June in Ohio was also national news. I mean, everybody was watching it. And it fascinates me because while the Roe decision was still on the books, it seemed like the so-called pro-life, you know, the anti-abortion movement had the upper hand. There was more intensity, more emotion, more drama, a lot of more feeling. And we saw that at rallies. And we saw that even in votes when abortion was on the ballot, basically as an issue between two candidates, the anti-abortion side often won. But when the Supreme Court got rid of Roe, and more and more states were putting on pretty much draconian anti-abortion laws on the books, voters got angry, and somehow all those who predicted Republican tsunamis in the 2022 midterms that fell from the wayside because of the way people responded to abortion rights. So it seems like when it's on the ballot, and we saw it not only in liberal states, but we saw it in conservative states like Kansas and Kentucky, Montana, and of course Ohio, which I guess it's fair to call it a conservative state. It used to be a swing state, but I think it's fair to call it a conservative state. The voters have their say, at least on the 60% thing with Ohio. But in Kansas, Kentucky, they said, you're not taking away our rights to abortion. And this is not just a Democrat versus, it's not a Democrat versus Republican issue. Republicans, look, you may still be so-called pro-life, but at the same time, you don't want to take rights away from women, the rights that they've had for a half century or for more than 50 years since the Roe decision. So now it seems like the shoe's on the other foot. The momentum is going the other way. And Republicans, really, I think they just bit off more than they could chew. I think a lot of them felt that they overextended themselves and thought that because our legislatures, our support anti-abortion legislation, the people do too, and that's not obviously not the case.
Yes, Republicans have been sort of struggling with their messaging. Of course, there's sort of two camps of Republicans. There are the strict opponents to abortion rights who believe that life begins at conception and abortion should be banned from that point on. But there are others who are saying, you know, maybe there is room for compromise. And one of those is presidential candidate, Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley.
We need to stop demonizing this issue. This is talking about the fact that unelected justices didn't need to decide something this personal, because it's personal for every woman and man. Now it's been put in the hands of the people. That's great. When it comes to a federal ban, let's be honest with the American people and say it will take 60 Senate votes. It will take a majority of the House. So in order to do that, let's find consensus.
Can Republicans who have been opposed to abortion rights since certainly before Roe, but since certainly since the Roe decision, can they find consensus on this? Here in Ohio, it's not going to happen.
Well, if opposition to abortion means that you believe the sanctity of human life, then you shouldn't compromise. There's no compromise that's going to happen, because, I mean, I'm going to compromise on somebody's life. I'm not going to do that if I were, you know, anti-abortion. If you noticed what Nikki Haley said right before that piece of tape you played, she said, "I am unapologetically pro-life," mm-hmm. but we've got to be realistic. Unfortunately, for many people in the pro-life movement, I keep saying pro-life, and people don't always like that term, or pro-life or anti-abortion movement, a lot of people don't believe in compromise. They don't believe that, you know, there should be exceptions for rape or incest. I mean, there are some states that they remove the exceptions for rape and incest, and they're not so crazy about life and health of the mother either. It's just politically, first of all, it should never have been political, but it became political, ever since 1972. I mean, people were having abortions. Abortions were going on in this country, but it wasn't politicized the way it's become in the last couple of years. And I think the turn of events against the anti-abortion people are just, that's why Nikki Haley and others are trying to somehow talk their way into some kind of language that may work for a lot of people, but that may not happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're being pragmatic. The polls show a clear majority. It's not a huge majority, but it is a clear, somewhere between 55 and 60% of Americans believe that abortion should be legal but regulated.
And that's fair, right?
55 to 60% folks believe in the Roe standard, that abortion should be banned after the point of fetal viability. And that's what the polls have shown here in Ohio prior to the summer vote. And that's what some Republicans are saying. Maybe we could look at a 15-week ban or a 12-week ban to try to put some controls over it. But the folks who believe, as you mentioned, that the life begins at conception and the sanctity of life, a 12-week ban or a 15-week ban is not a ban at all, because most abortions happen before that time.
Well, even Donald Trump, who, remember, once upon a time was pro-abortion rights, but I mean, now he says that what Ron DeSantis signed in Florida, the 6-week ban, that no abortion beyond 6 weeks, he said that went too far. And I think there are a lot of evangelical leaders who shouldn't have trusted Donald Trump or liked Donald Trump to begin with, but there are some in Iowa who's saying, well, this is just shows that Donald Trump is truly not a friend of the movement, because if he says that 6-week ban is not acceptable, then you should look twice at Donald Trump. So I think there's arguments within the party. I think they saw what happened in 2022. It wasn't the way they expected it to happen. Abortion played a big role in it, and they are probably fearful what role it could play in 2024.
There's some speculation, because of the success that abortion rights supporters have had in states like Kansas and in Montana and Kentucky and Michigan, that Ohio will be sort of a firewall, that folks who oppose abortion rights are going to pour a lot of money and a lot of effort into the Ohio vote as a way to sort of stop the losing streak, so to speak, in this fight. Do you see that happening?
Well, what I see happening is both sides will pour in a ton of money, as they should. I mean, this is a very, very important issue. And the fact that you and I mentioned Kansas and Kentucky without having to think twice means that we remember how stunning and how what a national headline that was when two conservative states said the right to abortion is sacrosanct and should stay on. So, yes, both sides will pour in a ton of money in Ohio, just like, you know, the millions that were poured in Wisconsin for that state's, you know, Supreme Court justice race. It's not the ones that you think of, like political junkies don't focus on, but in the long run, it's probably more important than Smith versus Jones on the ballot for an elected office.
Yeah, I ask Democrats here if they would be better off if this was on the 2024 ballot and not the 2023 ballot. And most of them sort of brush it aside, say, no, it won't matter. The 2023, they'll get their votes out. The motivated folks will come out. But you wonder if that would have helped Sherrod Brown in his race if it was on the 2024 ballot, maybe even help President Biden if he's the nominee in the presidential race here in Ohio.
Look, nobody was supposed to show up in August in the middle of summer, and come out and vote to defeat that Republican effort to raise the bar to 60%. The turnout was enormous. I mean, well, and so people are
38%. 38%. Huh? It was 38%. Relatively speaking, it was enormous.
Well, in comparable terms, it's yes. enormous. And the passion was intense. So I kind of think that somehow abortion, whether it's an actual ballot initiative or not, will be on the ballot in Ohio and most states in 2024.
Yeah. And marijuana is on our ballot, too, in November. The marijuana legalization question. It's not a constitutional amendment. It's an initiated statute. Ohio will be voting on whether to change state law to legalize marijuana for fun here in Ohio.
You know, it's amazing. These kind of things, I mean, social, I can understand why some people think that the world is passing them by too quickly. I mean, go back to 2008, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, Joe Biden were all against same-sex marriage. 2008 was not a long time ago. And now, if you're against same-sex marriage, you're a troglodyte. You know, you say, I mean, what's wrong with you? So things change in a hurry. The fact that we're just saying, well, marijuana reform. I mean, I never thought that was going to happen, but things change. The only thing people are not talking about anymore, it seems to me, are the Red Sox and the Yankees. But I guess
I wasn't going to bring those up, Ken, because neither of us are really.
Maybe it's because they suck.
Yes.
Is that right? Can you say that on public radio?
I think you can.
Okay.
Especially, well, I used to teach my son to say Yankees PU instead of the other version. So, when he was two, when he was repeating, somebody was saying that in our house. I'm not sure who that was. No, it's been a tough year for us Red Sox and Yankees fans.
And Yankees, yeah.
But you're not a Jets fan, are you?
I am a Giants fan.
That's what I thought. So, well, if you watch Hard Knocks, the Jets may never lose again. That was political junkie Ken Rudin joining us on Snollygoster. He is the host of the Political Junkie podcast. Please check it out. We'll be right back.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week. This week, it goes to Ohio Democrats and their election reform allies. For months and months, they have fought against gerrymandered legislative and congressional maps. For the most part, they have won in court. But of course, lawmakers ignored those rulings and had Ohioans vote on unconstitutional maps anyway. At least one of those cases was still pending, the one challenging the 2022 congressional maps. But this week, Democrats and their allies asked the Ohio Supreme Court to dismiss the case. They said they strongly believe this is the best result under the circumstances for the people of Ohio, who deserve certainty about the congressional map they will be voting under in this cycle at the very least. That sounds very altruistic. But what they don't say is that Democrats did better than they expected with the 2022 map. They now have 5 seats in Congress in Ohio to the Republicans' 10. Still not great, but not as bad as the previous map. And Democrats, if they kept fighting and lost, they feared Republicans might draw a new map that would be even worse for Democrats. So for quitting while they were ahead, or at least ahead of where they were and where they could have been, Ohio Democrats who said, you know, this map is just fine for now, they get our Snollygoster of the Week award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.